Hello and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com. My name is Michael Kraut, and in this show, we're going to discuss understanding name resolution in Windows Server 2008. I've been in the industry for over 20 years. I've been consulting and teaching for the government, United States Air Force, Navy, Marines, Army, and companies around the world. If you want more information about me, check out my GoGo profile. If you have any questions, please use the question comment box below. Let's get started. So, name resolutions in Windows Server 2008 include the three resolution systems. We have DNS. DNS is going to be your host. Preferred name resolution required for Windows 2008 domains. It was required for 2003 and also in 2000. NT, we didn't have any issues with DNS, but with 2003, 2008, and 2000, that's when we started using DNS extensively. Link local multicast name resolution and NetBIOS. So when we look at the LLMNR, which is link local multicast name resolution, it's used by network discovery. Remember network discovery when we went into our network and sharing center, we had network discovery. It's off by default. We use the multicast and resolve IP version 6 addresses to names of computers found on the local network. Well, if we're using IP version 4, then link local multicast name resolution protocol is not going to really be in the play for network discovery. When available, it's used before NetBIOS. NetBIOS is our default, but if we have IP version 6 enabled, then it's going to use the link local multicast name resolution. Use when there is not a DNS server available. And so what happens is when it's going to resolute the host address, which will be the computer, the fully qualified and name, for example, dc1.finalvision.com, then what will happen is it will use link local multicast name resolution. Windows Vista and above is going to use this. Now, IP version 6 has to be enabled when we're using link local multicast name resolution. And network discovery replaces a master browser service, which is broadcast-based, which we don't have broadcast-based when we're in IP version 6. Now, what are the advantages and disadvantages? Well, when we're looking at the advantages, it requires no configuration to resolve computers on a local subnet. Because remember, IP version 6 is automatically configured with our FE80, which is our link local. Compatible with IP version 6, much smaller servers makes more secure against attacks, so we don't have to worry about getting attacked when we're using IP version 6. The disadvantage is it does not resolve names of legacy Windows clients or NetBIOS clients. Does not provide connectivity to clients in Windows IP version 4 only network. And requires network discovery be turned on, which is off by default. And only resolves names on a local subnet. So it doesn't go across the WAN to the other ones. It's just for our local. So this is, again, what it's doing is taking place of our master browser and our broadcast type networks. Now, NetBIOS name resolution is NetBT or MBT, NetBIOS over TCP/IP. It's a legacy protocol. Naming system used with older versions of Windows. See, when we look at the name of a computer, it's actually, there's 16 characters. There's 15 that we use for the actual name itself, and then there's a 16th character which is used to identify which services that it's going to be using. IP version 4 only. Now, the NetBIOS broadcast enabled by NetBIOS is the use of NetBIOS broadcast. And a NetBIOS broadcast, what it does is it sends a packet out to all the machines saying, hey, do you know who this is? Do you know who this is? Do you know who this is? Local area connections have the NetBIOS enabled by default, and broadcasts are sent out to resolve the names. So once it does find a name, then it goes back and sends it and says, hey, yes, I do know who this is. But the thing is that packet's been sent to everyone. So that's why when we have a lot of those packets going out at the same time, we have collision. So the collision, CSMACD, collision detection, what happens is that when a packet collides with another one, it's going to wait. And so you're going to have a lot of wait times. And that's why sometimes when you have a hub doesn't direct traffic the right way. And so we have a lot of broadcasts. That's where you have a lot of red lights going on. Now, WINS, as a cache net BIOS names, there's two steps to enable. Enable the computer to look up names not resolved by DNS or LLMNR, and register the computer's names in a directory of WINS. And WINS is Windows Internet Name Service. And what it is it allows us to dynamically resolute our net BIOS names. Where DNS is used for our host names, the WINS is used for net BIOS names. The LM host file, which is located under the system root, system 32, drivers, etc., this has a net BIOS name to the IP address mappings. So this is for our local host names. Use when every other name resolution has failed. So if it doesn't get it from the cache, it doesn't get it from the DNS server, doesn't get it from LLMNR. Well, LLMNR is not going to work with LMHost. But fails where every other resolution goes through or tries to go through, then it's going to use LMHost file. LMHost files are created and updated manually. And to enable and disable NetBIOS, what you do is you go into your advanced, and underneath the advanced, you can see WINS. And we can enable the LMHost lookup, import the LMHost from that file. You can NetBIOS default. You can enable NetBIOS over TCP/IP or disable it. If you're not going to use it, then you can disable it. It just makes it so the connection is going to be a lot faster. So the NetBIOS node types that we have are four different node types. We have a broadcast, B node, pointer, point-to-point or P node, mixed or M node, and then we have the hybrid node, and the default is going to be hybrid. So the broadcast or B node is a broadcast NetBIOS names queries for name resolution. There's two drawbacks. Broadcast disturbs every node because what it does is it says, okay, do you know who this is? Do you know who this is? Goes to each one until it finds it. Routers do not pass broadcasts. So that's the other thing. Point-to-point or P node, WIN server, queries the name server instead of broadcasting. So what it will do is when it's looking for that name, it's going to go to the actual WIN server that has been configured for that NIC card. If it finds it, then it's going to give the address back. Mixed node, which is M node, uses broadcast first, then P node WINS lookup. And then hybrid, which looks WINS lookup first, then it'll go to broadcast. WINS is not available, the name is not registered, LMHost file is used to search the name to the IP address. This is the default, which is the H node or hybrid. Now, what are the advantages of NetBIOS? Well, there are some advantages because it resolves names of neighboring computers by default. No configuration is needed. So you don't have to go through and do any type of configuration that's going to be configured automatically. Enabled in all versions of Windows, even Windows 7, Windows 2008, Windows Vista, Windows XP, Windows 95, 98, Millennium, any of those different Windows versions, it's going to be automatically configured. WINS can be used to resolve neighboring subnets. Important when computers are not registered with DNS. But by default, we're going to have everybody registered with DNS, so we're trying to get away from NetBIOS and getting into the other technologies that we do have. It's easier to manage and configure than DNS. Now, the limitations, though, is the use of broadcasts. So it's going to send the packet out to every computer, and that's going to cause a lot of traffic within our network. Unique names must be used. NetBIOS advertises service information. Remember, I told you there's 16 characters. 15 for the actual name, the 16th character is actual services like workstation service or server service or any of those different services, then it's going to be broadcast or it's going to be advertised through NetBIOS. Not compatible with IP version 6. No compatibility at all. So DNS name resolution enables to locate a computer and other resources by the name on an IP in our network. And so, for example, going out and saying NSLookup, which is the tool that we're going to use, www.microsoft.com. What it's going to do is it's going to query our local DNS. If it's not there, it'll go through and get a non-authoritative. Non-authoritative means that the DNS server that's here is non-authoritative. The other one is the one that's going to take place. It's a hierarchical structure. automated method of caching and resolving host names. And DNS removes administrative difficulties associated with name hosting on the internet and large private networks. So when we look at the DNS namespace, it's hierarchical. It's a logical tree structure. Unique root, which can have any number of subdomains. So we have the period, which is our root. From there, we'll have like our edu, our org, our gov, our com, our us, our ru. It depends. I mean, there's so many different domains that we can have. Then we have subdomains. Off of that, we'll have Microsoft.com or .biz is another root that we have, or secondary domain. So .biz, we have ideadudes.biz or google.com or gogo.com. Subdomains can have other subdomains. So looking at domain names, we have fully qualified domain names. Identifies the location relative to the root of the DNS domain tree. So nycdc.research.bootcamp.com. So this is the actual host. This is a subdomain of bootcamp.com and a subdomain of .com. ICANN, which is the International Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, they're the ones that give out the actual or ensure that the domain name is unique within our within the environment. Assignment of identifiers must be globally unique, and there's three types of domains: organization domains, geographical domains, and reverse domains. So when we look at the private domain space, they're independent of the internet and DNS local or DNS namespace. And a lot of times what we do is dot local. And what we're saying is that the information that's in this domain is unique and it's private to our organization. nycdc1.bootcamp.local. That's not going to be resolved from the internet. So it's not seen from the outside. Now, when we look at the DNS components, we have the DNS servers, which runs a DNS server program. Windows or Bind, which is Berkeley Internet Name Domain, contains the information about the portion of the DNS domain tree. When we look at the DNS servers, it provides the information to the clients that request or query. So when we go out and type in www.microsoft.com, what it does is it goes out and says, okay, where's asked com, where is Microsoft located? Microsoft says, hey, here I am. And then it says, do you have www? Yes, I do. Here's the actual IP address for www.microsoft.com. Authoritative means that it has the answer for the actual query. If it doesn't, then it's going to have to forward it out to another DNS server. So answers questions based on the information that's stored in the server. When you say it's authoritative, then it has all the information. Can be authoritative for more than one domain hierarchy. Now, the DNS zones is a contiguous portion of the namespace for authoritative server. The zone files contain the data for the zones for which a server is authoritative. It's stored in a text file. Active Directory integrated zones are stored in Active Directory and replicated to other domain controllers that have DNS servers. So we have the forest DNS and we have a domain DNS. And so based on which application partition that we're going to use, that's going to determine which DNS servers that this information is going to be replicated. If you have a forest, then it's going to be to all the DNS servers, which are all domain controllers. If it's a domain DNS, then it's going to just be to that domain. Then we have the DNS resolvers. This is a service that uses a DNS protocol to query the information from the DNS server. Communicates either remotely or locally. So a resolver just says, okay, this is the information that we want, and we're going to ask the DNS servers, can you give me this information? Now the resource records, DNS database entry, is used to answer the queries. We have a record, which is a host record. We have a quad A, which is for IP version 6. So IP version 4 uses A records, IP version 6 uses quad A. Alias is known as a CNAME, and a CNAME is what is canonical name, which is what is a additional name alias for that actual domain. So for example, if we have payroll, www.finalvision.com. That's another subdomain of Final Vision. Well, with payroll, we could say payroll is the actual C name. So we can type in payroll. It'll actually resolve to payroll.finalvision.com. And then we have the pointer record, which is used for reverse lookup zones. And this is used to give the IP address or the answer, the host to the IP address. And then we have the MX record, which is the mail exchange record, which the mail exchange record is for our exchange organization. This is for our post office mail or for our mail server. So how does a query work? Well, what happens, there's three pieces of information in a query. We have the domain, DNS domain name, which is a fully qualified domain name. We have the query record type, and we have a specified class. Do you have any records for this computer? Hostname.example.bootcamp.com. It goes out to com, asks com, where's bootcamp? Bootcamp, where's example? Example, where's hostname? So the DNS resolution methods. If the client contacts the DNS server, uses a local database to query, resolve a query, DNS cache, which answers a query without contacting the DNS server. So what happens is, as information is being sent or resolved from a DNS server, it's going to keep it on that local machine. So the next time, when the client asks for that record, it comes from the inside or within the memory, which is a DNS cache. Iteration contacts the DNS. DNS does not have an answer, forwards a request to another server, eventually receives the correct answer. Thank you for listening to this broadcast. If you have any questions or comments, you can put them in the GoGo box below. You can also find more of my broadcasts. Just search for GoGo website. If you have an idea for a show, then let us know by putting the information in the GoGo box. It has been a pleasure speaking to you about technology. Thank you for letting me into your world. Have a great day, and bye-bye for now.